It's good to have you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, everybody say that with me again. For no matter how many promises God has, let's read it one more time. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let's say it again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Everybody say yes. The Bible says no matter how many promises God has made, whether that's through the Bible, whether that is to you individually, the Bible says for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through him, the amen, so be it, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Everybody say amen one more time. I'd like the next verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Everybody say immovable. I want to talk to you this morning about immovable. The promise still stands. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that all of your promises, no matter how many of them you have made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a good high five before you're seated one more time. I like it. I told my grandkids, my house is called the house of yay and amen. Come on, somebody. I said no enough to my kids, and now with my grandkids, you want to go play? Yes. You want some jelly? Yes. You want to eat ice cream? Yes. My house is just the house of yes and amen. There's no no's in my house. And I want to talk to you because in the house of God, the Bible says, as many are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so I want to talk about being immovable. Paul was immovable. And I love it because I talked about today, I love finishing things. You know, through the years, I've watched so many people start things but not finish them. And I have a lot more joy in my day seeing something finished than even something beginning. And I love that. So I want to talk to you. I'm in my 40th year now, and I want to talk to you some lessons and secrets I've learned on how to be immovable in your life. Because I've been through a lot, seen a lot, experienced a lot, walked through some deep waters in life, literally and physically and spiritually. I'm still here. Come on, somebody say, we're still here. Man, so I want to talk to you a few things that I've learned. How to be immovable. How to come to the place where none of these things move me. In Acts chapter 20, number one is this. Let me just do the first one. Number one is this. Accept it as an appointment rather than an accident. See, I quit believing in accidents when I became a Christian. I quit believing in that. When I put my life in God's hands, then I say, God, I am yours. Lord, whatever comes my way, you will turn it for my good. And so I put everything in my life as an appointment rather than as an accident. I like what Paul wrote in Acts. He said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit on Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things, what? Paul said, you know what? I've already learned ahead of time what's going to happen. It's not going to be a bed of roses. I'm not going to get health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm heading toward Jerusalem, and bonds and afflictions wait me. You know, he wrote about one time the things that happened to him. He was beaten 39 times with the thing that metal in it and glass in it. Twice, you know, he was stoned a number of times. He was in the deep. He lists all the things he went through, but he said these words: "None of these things move me." Everybody say, "Move me." Because he was immovable. No matter what came his way, no matter what happened to his family, no matter what happened to him personally, no matter what happened financially no matter what happened spiritually, what happened physically, he said, none of these things move me. And so when you go through life, I made this in my life. Everything in my life is an appointment by God. And everything God will use, whether the devil meant it for evil, God will turn it around for good at some point. So none of these things move me. I made up my mind when I was young and I said, Lord, I'm going to make it. When I was in high school, I became a quitter. When something would make me mad in a sports program, I'd quit. I'd go to the coach and say, I quit. I walk away. I quit. And I learned when I became a Christian, I said, I refuse to let that characteristic dominate me. I'm going to make it through. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to bite and hold. Come on, somebody. It's like a bulldog. His nose is slanted backwards so it can bite and breathe at the same time. And I want to be able to take hold and not give up. So I just begin to count it as an appointment. Look what he wrote to a group of people who were going through some tough times. He says, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been what? Destined for these things. We've been destined for these things. Look what verse 4 says. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. So it came to pass, as you know. He began to tell them. Look at chapter 3. Listen to what he says. For indeed, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been what? Destined for these things. I already know the rest of my life, I've got some afflictions that are destined for me. I've got things I've got to walk through. I've got things I've got to fight through. I've got things I'm going to have to deal with and believe God through. All these things are destined. So, you know, I love because the way it says the word disturb means to shake you back and forth like a dog wags its tail. Sometimes life will grab you and jerk you back and forth. But Paul said, don't be moved by any of these things. Be immovable in the Lord. I like it because he says we were destined for this. Listen, floods are not happenstance. Sickness is not happenstance. You fight it, you better believe you fight it with all your... But when the end line comes, though, I said, God, you have destined me. You're going to do something in this for my good. Come on, somebody. I like this. Look what verse 4 says. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Look at verse 4. Do I have one more? For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. One of the biggest misconceptions is that God's primary purpose is for me to be healthy, wealthy, and wise all my days. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's called hogwash. Come on, somebody. Totally wrong picture of what it means to join the army of God. You know, one of the worst things can happen for you is for life just to be as calm and as cool. There was one in nature called the adversity principle. One of the worst things you can ever do is go to a zoo and look at an animal and look like a lion. He's been in there every day. His food is thrown to him. His muscles become weak. His senses become weak. And he just becomes lazy. When you go out, we've been out to a number of the game reserves in South Africa. We were privileged one time to go through a private one where they took us through and out. And and one time one of the jeeps got stuck and they put us outside in the bush. And these lions, I mean, you're not in a zoo. These lions are everywhere. And we were very quickly gotten back into one of the jeeps. But you ought to see these lions because they're fighting for their life every day of their life. Their senses are tuned. Their reflexes are there. And that's the way life is. One of the worst things you could ever do is for God to make it so smooth for you the rest of your life that you wouldn't have one care, one prayer, one worry the rest of your life. See, that's what we think of Christianity. And it's not. They did a biosphere one time, and it only lasted 24 months where they had everything was utopia, where they didn't have to worry about food or school or worry or heat or any of that stuff. And it lasted 24 months. And you ought to read the report of what happened in this thing in the Sonoma Desert in Arizona. They literally began to fight and war among each other, and the oxygen levels got off and all this and that. Let me tell you, God does not put us in a bed of roses to live the rest of our life. And I don't think heaven's going to be that way. I don't know what your picture in heaven is going to be like. Some of you think heaven is going to be a cloud and grapes and your legs put up on a sofa and the 72-inch screen will be going all day long. You know what I believe? I believe there's going to be some battles and some wars. You know the angels of God war? Did you know that? The Bible says the angels war. If you think heaven is going to be this nice place where it's just going to be you know what I believe? I don't believe God's a boring God. Come on, somebody. I believe there are things God has planned for eternity. The Bible says we're going to be over certain things, watching over things. I mean, when you're watching over something, we've got employees here. I don't know how many employees we've got. We've got a school, some clinics. We've got a school and the Spanish church and the church staff. And there's always issues to deal with and things to deal with. You know what I think heaven's going to be? I don't think heaven is some retirement center where you go and you just put your line in the water and that's the end of your days. I believe heaven's going to be exciting. I believe heaven's going to be challenging. I believe there's going to be some warfare going on. I believe we're going to have lots of stuff to do. How many know the universe is still expanding, going out in all kinds of places? There are things. See, heaven's going to be a great place. We said, I'm just going to work hard till I get to heaven, and then I'm just going to sleep in my bed till 12 o'clock every day and get up out and just enjoy heaven. Well, the good thing is you'll have a new body. You won't get tired. But there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in heaven. Come on, somebody. I can see you're thrilled about that. All right, look at Romans chapter 8. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody say amen. Give him a great clap offering. Come on. God is always more interested in your sanctification and your growth than in your comfort and simpleness of life. 1 Peter 4, Peter wrote this way and said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Accept it as an appointment rather than an accident. That's what I've done in my life. I said, God, what are you doing in this? God, what are you going to bring me to? God, what are you going to do? All right, the second thing is this. Accept it without knowing the reason why. That is one of the biggest things I learned in my life. Accept it without knowing the reason why. How many of you raised kids? How many of you have raised kids? How many of you, at some point, your kid has asked you why? Everybody say why. And you just didn't want to tell them. You just had enough. You're not going to tell them why. We want to know, make sense of every senseless suffering. We want to know the reason why. What do you do when no answer to relieve you, when you really, no answer really satisfies? What do you do? Listen, I've come to terms with the truth that I may never know the reason why until yonder. I have come to terms with the truth. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says it this way. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. I've just learned this in life. There are some things I just won't know until I get to heaven. There are some things, listen, he's too wise to make a mistake, too powerful to fail. And he loves me far too much to ever harm me. Hurt me, he might at times. How many's ever had a doctor hurt you? Ever had a doctor hurt you? How many's ever had eye surgery? Anybody had eye surgery? You ever get there and they click your eye open, they give you that Valium so you don't give a hoot. Come on, somebody. Or they do whatever. The last three times they went to my heart, I stayed awake. And I'm going to tell you, it's a trip to watch them go up in your heart and watch them punch something and you feel it in your thing. It's a great time. It's a beautiful time. You know, the last few times I did, I had all male nurses. I'm going to tell you, there's just something fun about having all male nurses in the operating room. Because you go in there, and the first thing, they go, who put this tube in? He's going to die. Who put this tube in like this? You just lay it there, you know, it's really fun. So it's really a good time. Guys like it. All right, number three, believe that God is in charge. If you want to be immovable in your life, if you want to go through things and not be disturbed and not be moved by these things, believe that God is in charge. Everybody say he's large and in charge. In the life of a saint, there's no such thing as chance. Never send your kids off to school with good luck. We never send our kids off. Good luck. Good luck on the test today. Good luck. You know what we did? We're going to pray that the wisdom of God is yours today. Now, we pounded them before, the night before, and the weeks before to study, of course. We just didn't, we did all the prep. But when we sent them off, we said, well, we pray in God's blessing on you. I just pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord give you the wisdom of God. Come on, somebody. We prayed those things. Good luck. I bless them in the name of the Lord. You know, when you see the circumstances of your life, you see God in all of it. When Joseph, listen, when Joseph was all of his life, when God, when his dad gave him that coat of many colors, and then he began to do all the things he did as a teenager. When he told and said things he should not have said. He bragged about things he should not have bragged about. Made his brothers upset and mad. He gets thrown in a pit. He gets sold to slave traders. He gets put down into prison. He gets lied about. He gets forgotten in prison after he helps some other people. Then they forget him. Then finally he's brought in, made number two in the whole kingdom. And his brothers come. Listen, in all of that, God was in charge. And I don't care what is going on in your life, God is in charge. No matter the good or the bad, God, all things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He loved all those things. And God, listen, I love in Genesis chapter 45, he says three times, and then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me. Everybody say, God sent me. Three times he says, God sent me. He reads it over, God sent me. Listen, God is large and in charge. And whatever you're going through in your life, if you want to remain immovable, see God is in charge of that. When he's sold as a slave, God's in charge. When he's in the prison now, God's in charge. You remember the two servants of Pharaoh that he told the dream, interpreted their dream, and one of them was restored and one of them was executed. And the Bible says he told them, he said, listen, when you get back in your place, remember me. Give me a word to the king. Get me out of here. And the Bible says when the cupbearer got put back in, he didn't. He just forgot about Joseph. For two more long years, he sat in that prison. Now, think about this. Some of you, somebody's promised you something and it hadn't come to pass. They forgot about it. They didn't live up to it. Anybody here right now, anybody here right now that you're mad or you're upset about somebody promised you something and they didn't live up to their promise. And now think about this. Let me tell you why this was God. Think about if this guy had told the king, King, I was in prison and this man helped me. His name was Joseph. And I really think if you would, just one word from you and you'll get him out. And I believe the king could have said, yes, get him out of prison and brought him out of prison. Pharaoh would have brought him out of prison. Guess what Joseph would have done at that moment? He would have packed every bag he had and headed back to Israel. And 2 years later, 2 years later when Pharaoh had his dream and said, can anybody interpret this dream? Joseph would have been nowhere around. He'd have been back in a foreign land and would not have been around to save the world. But he couldn't see that then. He just knew that somebody made me a promise and broke the promise to me. And so I'm suffering two more long years in prison. And he didn't see, didn't have the eyes. Let me tell you, judge nothing before the time. When God brings you that day in heaven, he rolls back the curtain and shows you this is what happened. And this is what happened because of that. And this is what occurred because of that. And you'll go, mighty are your judgments, O God. Worthy are you, Lord. So you learn to trust God, that God is in charge. He's large and in charge. I love this. There was a man by the name of Arthur Marshall Shelley who suffered the death of two of his children. And here's what he wrote. He said, even as a child, he said, I loved to read and I quickly learned that I would most likely be confused during the opening chapters of a novel that I was reading. The new characters were introduced. Disparate, seemingly random events would take place. Subplots were complicated and didn't seem to make any sense in relation to the main plot at the beginning. But I learned to keep reading. Why? Because at the end of the book, eventually, each element would be meaningful. At times, such faith has to be a conscious choice, that knowing the day will come when all things, you'll look back and you say, all things work together for the good. Everything in my life worked together for the good. I couldn't see it right now why two more long years stuck in prison would it be anything whatsoever. But it maneuvered Joseph to be exactly where he needed to be at the right time. Come on, to save the world. So God used him that way. You know, Shang Wan, a few months ago, had a dream. And she had this dream, she told us. She said she dreamed that in February, she would be dancing on the streets of gold. Come on, somebody. Guess where she is right now? Dancing on the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Number four, attitude. Everybody's got one. Number four, attitude. Have the right one. Everybody's got an attitude regardless. Just have the right attitude. Have the right. You know, there's people that's got an attitude, but you got the wrong. In the book of Numbers, I used to call the book of Numbers the book of grumblings. It was the biggest road trip you'll ever take in your life. Millions of people took a road trip to Egypt, out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. But they all had the wrong attitude. They continue. Attitude determines your altitude. And when you begin to learn this, attitude determines your altitude, the right attitude. You know, when you go on the internet now, they've got every kind of website you want. You know, they have a website called complain.com. It's got the biggest. What you do is you go on there. Listen to its webpage. When you get on, click. Here's its webpage at the beginning. It says, complain about anything. The whole world is here to listen. Complain about your neighbor. Complain about the airlines. Complain about the trains. Complain about noise. Complain about your mother-in-law. Come on, somebody. Complain about the high prices. Complain about getting ripped off. About potholes. About the police. Complain about your boss. Complain about your work. You could even complain about us. We don't care. Come on, somebody. And some of you need that website because what you do is you just complain all the time. And you need to learn that. You ever met somebody, and I remember I had somebody coming this way from somebody else I knew in Texas, and they said, just get ready, this guy's a complainer. And I'm going to tell you, he no longer got in our parking lot. I said, look at this parking lot. You got holes here, you got holes there. And I looked at him, I said, you know, my buddy in Texas told me you're going to complain when you got here. Come on, somebody. And some people, I taught, they just complain. Their life is built. I love Matthew Henry, who wrote one of the great Bible scholars who wrote a commentary. He got robbed one time. And when he got robbed, what do you do when you get robbed? I mean, he literally got robbed at gunpoint one day. Here's what he wrote that afternoon in his diary. Let me first be thankful for I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful because they took all I had, but it wasn't very much. And fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Be thankful in all things. There's always something you be thankful for. Attitude, have the right one. Number five, remember that God doesn't change. Remember that God doesn't change. David facing Goliath. He said, God help me kill the bear. God help me kill the lion. And God will help me with this giant I'm facing. Believe that God will do what he did in the past. He'll do it again. If he did it once, he'll do it again in your life. Listen, I stood a year and a half ago when I stood back here. And all of us and all of you were at certain places looking at things. And I remember standing here looking at all our four homes underwater, 4.5 feet. The church under 4.5 feet, 32 tractors at 4.5 feet. And I remember, I'm going to tell you, my mind went back to when I was worked for the state of Louisiana. We made about $800 a month. And I remember wanting to go somewhere for a birthday party. I won't go into it, but I had no money. And I remember going to the post office box, opening the door, and there was my refund check. Come on, $32. Hallelujah. And I remember being able to go to the Christian bookstore and buy a gift and go to this birthday party I wanted to go to. And I just remember, I said, God, you can do it then. You can do it again. Everybody look around us, right? Didn't God do it again? Give him a good clap offering. Isn't God good? Hebrews 6 says, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast and one which enters. Ben preached last week on hope. I'm going to tell you, hope because God is unchangeable. And I trust in the living God. And the day will come when I'll look and I'll say, God, you never really changed. The world may have said you did, but you did not. The sixth thing to do is always know there's better ability than your own. Ability, unite with God's ability. Zechariah 4 says it this way. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know what Zechariah was looking at? Jerusalem, he'd come back and Jerusalem was laying in ruins. There were enemies all around attacking them. They'd sent word back to the ruler saying that they were trying to rebel and they turned against the Jews. And Zerubbabel was sitting there so discouraged, thinking, I'll never get this back together. This will never be built. This dream will never come true. This will never happen. And you know what he said? God said, listen, it's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Look at what he said, Paul wrote in Corinthians. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Come on, all the ugly people say amen today. Come on, somebody. See, if you're weak and ugly, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says his power is perfected in weakness. God, if you're ugly and think you never can get married, don't worry about it. God will put grace on you and somebody beautiful is going to fall in love with you. All the ugly men say amen. All the ugly men say amen. It happened to us. We know it. Look what Philippians 4 says. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And then I like what Isaiah 40 says. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. Come on, somebody. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know how I've lived 40 years and been immovable? Because I have waited upon the Lord. When I've been weary and tired, I said, Lord, you give new strength, infuse. God, I may be not sufficient, but Lord, I'll be self-sufficient in your sufficiency. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. I used to go out to California with Samuel, and we were always out there on New Year's Day, and we used to go down to the Rose Parade, and I'd take him in his wheelchair, and we'd go down to the Rose Parade, and we'd sit there, and we'd watch. He just loved the Rose Parade, and there was 1 million people in Pasadena, and it was packed, but we would find us a place, and I'd push him up along the edge, and one time we were watching, I'll never forget this, a float. It's powered by a gasoline engine, and it runs out of gasoline. It runs out of power and dies right in front of us. And you know what so funny was? It was the Standard Oil Company float. Come on, somebody. And he and I got such a kick out of it but how many know, listen, when you're with the Lord God, if you wait upon the Lord, you'll never run out of gas. Come on, somebody. You'll keep right on going in your life. All right. I love Ulysses S. Grant. One time in one of the low points of the Civil War, he got all of his officers together, and I love the story. He says he took them out one night. He just took them out into a field, and he told them all, look up. And they all looked up, and they looked at the stars, and he said he didn't say a word for about 30 minutes. At the end of 30 minutes, he said, well, that will do. We are sufficiently small again, and God enlarged. And sometimes you knew, like David did, what is man that you're mindful of him? He looked out at the galaxies and looked out at the stars. What is man that you leave in mind, or the son of man that you should visit him? And when you do that, you let God be God and God be big, and you just unite your ability with God's ability. I'm going to tell you, God can do all things. Come on, all things are possible with God. That day when Gabriel stood with that little girl, Mary, and said, you're going to have a baby and never know a man. He's going to be an immaculate, you're going to have it happen. And then she said, how can this be? And he said, I stand in the presence of God. With God, all things are possible. and you get along with God, I'm going to tell you, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, and you hear God whisper, all things are possible with me. And you link your arm with a big, you know, the Bible says the word weight means to be intertwined. It's like when a vine would intertwine around a big oak tree and a hurricane would hit, and that vine makes it through that hurricane, not because of strength of itself, because it intertwined itself with the strength of the oak. I don't know about you. I just get intertwined with the strength of God. And I said, I'm going to run this race until the end. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering today. Come on. He is good today. Number 7, determination. Don't leave home without it. You've got to be determined. We read this morning about it. It says, after you've done the will of God, you've got to be determined. You got to persevere. You got to stay in there. I love 1 Corinthians 15:58, our opening verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, there's just sometimes you just got to be like a bulldog, like I said. You got to stay in there, fight it through, because all things, listen, you got to fight it. Number 8, accept the hardships as a discipline. I just learned this. I'm in the army of God. I'm not in some ballerina, you know. I joined the army of the living God. I joined the army of the living God. I'm a soldier of the Most High God. Jesus was no wimp. The Bible says, you know, meekness, we told you, meekness is strength under control. And being a Christian is you enter the army of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 7 says exactly that. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children for what children are not disciplined by. One of the greatest things the army ever does is boot camp. One of the best things the police force ever do is they take their trainees to boot camp. They make it worse than it is. We've got some people here went through some of the classes to be able to carry arms and carry firearms. And you should see it. They told me they were in the class and they were in an auditorium, and all of a sudden they're just sitting there. All of a sudden in breaks these criminals, and it's all staged, but nobody knows it. And they're in the classroom, and they break in. And I mean, they've got pellets and, you know, live ammunition that's rubber. And man, he said, you're talking about people getting shot and hurt and killed and boot. You know, one of the best things can happen is God puts you through some boot camp. Come on, somebody. He puts you through some things that you can get ready. See, the day is going to come when heaven is not going to be just a cakewalk. Heaven is going to be a life of things you've learned on this side. You're going to employ them on that side. You're going to be used of God. There's going to be things that will occur. I believe there will be battles. There will be wars. There'll be all these things. I don't know what you think heaven's going to be, but I think heaven's going to be an exciting time. There's going to be an onslaught, conquest, and all that. But listen, accept things now as hardships. I learned this. You know, this life is not the end. This life is just a training period. You remember the analogy we used when we just have this rope that goes all the way around the yard and just a little red tip about this big? That's this life, and here's the rest of your existence. And it prepares you for all this other stuff. I love it. It says, look at verse 11. It says, as all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. I used to tell you, my dad used to take us in the bedroom and hit the bed with his belt and tell us to scream. Come on, somebody. But be sorrowful, yet those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees. You know why hands grow weak and knees go feeble? It's because of the things we go through, and we got to get down about it. We're fighting this in our body. We're dealing with this in our family. We're going through this financially. We're going through that, you know, spiritually. We're going through this emotionally. And we get weak and we get feeble. And you know, the Bible says strengthen them. Because the things you're going through, you're learning something through it. This life is not all there is. You're training for you're training for a future. Learn how to deal with this. Every misery becomes a ministry. Everything you walk through, God will use it for your good. Hebrews 5 says it this way. It says, so also Christ did not glorify himself as to become a high priest, but who said to him, you are my son, today I've begotten you. Just as it says also in another passage, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he were a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Maybe you're better than Jesus. Maybe you can just skip the things that Jesus endured. The Bible says, listen, Brother Eccles used to tell me this. Brother Terry, you'll never bypass the general teachings of the Word of God. If it took suffering to teach Jesus obedience, how much more us? Come on, somebody. So the things that you go through, count them as disciplines. Lord, you're teaching me something. Lord, I'm enduring. I'm teaching whatever. Listen, you begin to learn that. And then number 9, the next to last one, is eternity. Always keep eternity in view. I don't know if you heard the news, but Thibodeau died. Did anybody hear that Thibodeau died? Thibodeau died. And he died. And about a week later, he found a phone in heaven and he called Boudreaux. And he said, hey, Boudreaux, Thibodeau. He said, yeah, I'm in heaven. And so they talk about a few things. Thibodeau, tell me something. He said, tell me something, Thibodeau. You and I have always talked. They, I don't know if you knew, they were big LSU baseball fans. He said, do they have baseball in heaven? And Thibodeau said, well, I got good news. I got bad news. Well, what's the good news? And Thibodeau said, yes, they have baseball. And what's the bad news? You're pitching tomorrow. Everybody wants to die, but nobody wants to die right now. Is that right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But nobody wants to go to heaven right now. I remember Billy Graham said that he was in South Africa and a lion jumped on top of his car. And he said, I want to go to heaven, but I just didn't want to go right then. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. Pray for my mom. My mom's got pneumonia and she's up in Tennessee and fighting 87 years old and da-da-da and all this that's happening right now. But you know what? Underlying it all, I said, my mom, if she were to go right now, she'd love it. I can see my mother. She would preach it. I mean, she would just ask God, give me another world to go preach at. Come on, somebody. And you're talking about somebody prays for me, and I wouldn't mind having somebody at the throne of God praying for me every day of my life. And I'm going to tell you because, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying and our inner man is being renewed day by day, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us the eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you got to get to that place where, listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. Charismatics have very little theology about dying. I'm going to tell you, dying is, if Jesus tarries, guess what the percentage of death will be in this auditorium? 100%. I don't know how to tell you, but if Jesus tarries another, let's say, 100 years, the percentage in this auditorium is 100%. 100%. And I don't know about you, one of the things in the Middle Ages, when the people that got sick and died of the plagues and things that happened during the Middle Ages, did you know they said one of the greatest witnesses was how Christian died? See, we think a witness ought to always be when God miraculously comes and heals us, and what a great testimony. One of the greatest testimonies, one of the great witnessing tools they had in the Middle Ages was how a Christian died versus how a non-believer died. How a Christian died versus how a non-believer died. And charismatics have very little theology. It's called thanatology. It's called the doctrine of death. It's how we die. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You learn that death is a part of life and it will occur. And though we grieve, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We sorrow as those that do have hope. We sorrow, but there's that underlying, golden cloud that we know where they are. We had, when Micah died the other, we were at the funeral home, and I remember I was with Steve and Jan, and I was looking at them, and I said, so many, we'd been there about 4 hours, and had those of you that walked through that, you know all that. And I looked at him, I said, but you know what? I said, of all the unanswered questions, there's bunches of whys here. There's a bunches of whys. I said, there are lots of questions. I said, you guys have answered the most important question and the question that trumps every other question. And that is, you may have seen this. I said, you know where Micah is right now. You know she's where you want both of your other two kids to be one day. You want them all in heaven. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, well done, Mom and Dad. You guys knew as you did. Let me tell you, they didn't raise just good kids. They raised godly kids. And Micah loved the Lord her God with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength. And listen, she's there. And so one of the keys in life is this, that you know this, and that is the question that trumps every other question you could ever have in life. why God didn't do this, why God didn't do that. All those are questions that one day God will answer them. But I love it this. The main question is, you know, and the last thing today is footprints. Remember that his are with yours. You know the old poem, Isaiah 43. I want the music team to come on back up. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I've given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And God says, I will be there with you. You know, in the book of Joshua, when God said and spoke in past tense and said, I have given you the city of Jericho. I've given you the city of Jericho. And only God, as I said, only God can speak in past tense about a battle that you've not fought yet. I have given you the city of Jericho. But they had to walk it out. They had to persevere. They had to not give up after they had done the will of God. They could not give up. And I just felt that today. This song was for today. Usually on before the Valentine's, I'd preach one on relationships. But I just felt the Lord tell me that song is for today. There are people. I want to bring the lights down, if you would. That is for today. There is somebody in here. I want everybody to put everything aside and stand up this morning, would you? There are people in here this morning that maybe you're on the sixth lap. You're on the sixth lap and nothing's changed. And you thought in your heart, why hasn't anything changed? Why hasn't anything changed? You know God promised to you. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And you know God promised some things to you. But nothing has changed. But I'm going to tell you, after you need perseverance. After you have done the will of God, that it comes to pass. And God this morning wants to do in your life. He wants you, listen, don't give up. I just felt like I had a word from God for you today. Don't give up. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Don't let your hands become weak and your knees become feeble. Don't crash. Don't give up. Don't fall down and say, I had enough. I'm tired. But listen, after you've done the will of God, you need perseverance so that you see it come to pass. And some of you are on the sixth lap today. Listen, there's going to be one more lap and God's going to do what God said he's going to do. Some of you may just be starting out. It may be a long journey. Listen, be immovable. Be steadfast. 40 years, I'm going to tell you, 40 years can go by like a blink. I remember just the other day I was building this building. First, I remember building this building. Just seemed like a little while ago. And I'm going to tell you, God will do what God said he will do. He will never change. He will do what he said he will do. God never changes. And so maybe you've been walking around your wall. I don't know what your wall is. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your fight is. I don't know what it is that's standing in your way. But listen, you thought it'd fall by now after all this time. Let me tell you, stay in there. Stay in there to the very end. Stay in there. Stay in there until the day he calls you home. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't think, why God me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this come on me? Listen, throw all that away. Throw all the whys. Be content to never know why. I may never know why on this side. One day he'll tell me. I'm okay. I'm okay with not knowing why. Because I'm going to be immovable. I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. Though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. Do like Job. Be like Job. Though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. I will not. Listen, he may deliver me from this fiery furnace. He may not. But no, I will not bow to the gods of anger and the gods of insecurity and the gods of pity and all that kind of stuff. I'll not do that. I'll love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my strength, until the day I go to be with him. And then he'll show me. Come on, let's sing this together. Let God begin to minister to you this song. Let's sing it. Keep
thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I know the night won't. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing praise again. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. Sing this.
I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands.
This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faith.